All right. So what I want to share as a short little nugget today to kind of tie all this together, and I just felt like today was the day for this. I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 3, and there is one story here that I want to show you and just, I don't know, talk about what the Lord shared in this and in this moment, this morning, and then we'll wrap it up. I hope that's okay. No, it's not in the slides. So Daniel chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 8, and I think many of you know this story. I want to do everyone a favor. It's Abednego, not Abednego. He's not bending, okay? So I hear Abednego. No, Abednego, all right? So that's his name. He has a Hebrew name. That's the name that they gave him in Babylon. I don't know what Abednego means, but it probably doesn't mean what they say Abednego means. So here are the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And I think it's the beginning of 3. We're not going to read that part. We're going to jump to 8. But basically, they, even in the leaving of their home, basically being taken from their home, being turned into eunuchs. I'm not going to go into details on what that means today. You can discover that for yourself if you don't know. But basically a process to become a part of King Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and to basically be trustworthy and not to go after the harem and all this other stuff, not go after the kingdom, et cetera, et cetera. And so they had this process. And these three guys were advisors in some way to the king. And so wise men, advisors, etc. They had a purpose, they had a job, and it was in much of the political side of it. And Nebuchadnezzar gets this idea to make an idol of himself, his ugly mug. I don't know, he might have been good looking, I don't know, but I'm going to say his ugly mug, slapped in gold as a statue. And he said, everyone must worship the king by the statue. So when you wake up, when you go to bed, when you eat lunch, whatever, you're going to bow and you're going to pray to this statue. Well, I like the boys and Daniel because they were like, no, we're not. It's Chris's paraphrased version, but the short version is, no, we're not. That's not what we do. And so even the enemy thinking that he can do what he did to these young men and change their identity, that he could get them to run away from the God of Israel, that he could get them to forget their home and their upbringing and their customs and their culture. They were like, nope, not happening. We serve God and God alone. We bow to God and God alone. Amen? That's what the word of God, the Torah, told them, and that's what they did. And so we get to verse 8 here, and I'm going to jump around a little bit, but we're going to remain in 3. But in verse 8, it says, Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused these Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews among whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. They are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. So they're flattering him, telling him how awesome he is, feeding that ego, and then telling him, oh yeah, We praise you, O king, but these guys don't. You better do something about it, otherwise we're going to tell everybody, right? You're going to look like a fool, right? They're playing to his emotions. They're playing to his ego. Then in 13, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, men, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?"
That is very, he's in trouble. We don't have to, you know, you don't have to be a good discerner to know that that is a bad statement to make, boy. And so 16 says, "And the young men answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter.'" I knew I liked these guys. They're a little bit fiery. "We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you." I don't know if you know the comedian that says, "Here's your sign." This was their "here's your sign" moment. It says, "Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." I need a pause here because I want to analyze their statements because it's important. He said, "We serve a God that will deliver us from the fiery furnace," keyword from the fiery furnace and from your hand. But if he does not, newsflash, it's not going to change how I feel. We as believers, sealed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, need to be the type of believers that say, no matter what comes my way, whether my cat's lost, whether my car's broke down in a wreck, whether my house is this, whatever comes my way, nothing's going to change. Here's your sign. I'll put it out of my front door. No matter what happens, I will not bow. I won't listen. I won't pray to your God. I won't stop saying what I'm saying or doing what I'm doing. And if he calls me to do it even more wild than I am now, guess what? That's what we're doing. Amen? So remember, the key words were "from your hand," from your fiery furnace. But let's see what happened. It says, "Then," obviously, "Nebuchadnezzar was in full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." So pause for 2 seconds, verse 20. So not only did they heat it 7 times the normal heat, for whatever reason, he felt compelled to get his biggest, baddest dudes to deal with little boys. Is someone scared? I would say, I don't know, I'm just saying, why would you need the big guys? These are young men, you know, they're not doing anything bad, but he got scared for some reason. Interesting. "And he cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed those men who took up the boys." Can you imagine that? All right, I need the best guys I got. And they're like strutting in there like, yep, that's me. And I was like, all right, deal with this. And then they get taken out. Like, I don't think they signed up for that on that day, right? Surprise! "And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the midst of the burning furnace." So take a mental note or a picture here. I don't know if they've made a movie of this yet, but you got these big guys taking these 3 dudes, going to take them to the furnace. They don't make it because of the heat and the urgency in which the command was given. They burn up right there, and then the boys just fall in. That's what he just explained here in the scripture. That's wild, okay? "Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, as we all would be, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, 'Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?' And they answered and said to the king," that's true, king. "But he said, 'Look, I see 4 men loose," not bound, "walking in the midst of the fire,
and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near to the mouth of the burning furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. And the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Small little tidbit. Anybody remember Robert and April Lassiter? You know the Lassiters? So Robert, I'm going to snitch on him. Robert caught his house on fire. We're not being videoed, by the way. And so Robert caught his house on fire. And when I went over to help him, y'all, the smell of fire was still very dominant, okay? And so there's something to be said when the Lord is giving us details and descriptions like this, that none of their hairs are even a little bit singed. Anybody use a hair dryer and you kind of like leave it on too long and it gets a little singed? Like, theirs wasn't, and it was hotter than a hairdryer. The fire was 7 times hotter, and there was no smell of smoke. Robert told me he had to sell so much because the smell of smoke just would not go away no matter what they did, okay? And so these guys were in a blazing furnace, and even, you know, you got to think about it this way, and this is not a pretty picture, but it's a picture nonetheless. There were dudes that were just barbecued. You're going to have some smell that isn't pleasant, right? If hair smells bad when it burns, flesh smells bad when it burns, okay? And so it was not barbecue, and it wasn't like, yeah, this is good. It's like, I'm going to vomit, right? And none of that affected them. And so we get to this final portion of Daniel chapter 3, and it says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, and this kind of is sickening in a way, but I'll leave it be here, but he spoke saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own god. And so he praises God. And the reason why I say that it's kind of disgusting because men like this, they were willing to praise any god who rose up stronger than the other one. So this wasn't a conversion. This was just, he was a goober, and God has commanded that his lips would give praise too. So it wasn't him saying, oh, bless God, I'm going to pray to God now. No, that's not what he was doing. He was just giving honor to the one who won that day. Are you with me? The thing that I need us to see, and the way that I feel like the Lord wants us to tie it together this morning with the stories, with the encouragement, with the warnings that we received, is everyone is looking for God to save them from the enemy's hand, from the burning fiery furnaces, from the giants. And what I believe that we need to hear this morning is God is not looking to save you from those things. He's looking to save you in those things. The fiery furnace did more, I believe, to temper the hearts of these young men, as well as anybody else who watched and was like an attendant that day, like, all right, we're going to roast some people this day. I don't know that I wanted to watch this movie, but here we are, you know, at the king's command. But for them to see a miracle take place and for them to see 4 people there but not pull 4 people out, and they were confident that the other guys were burned up upon trying to get them to the furnace, that there was no explanation other than this had to be the hand of God. What happens if God would have saved them from the fire? Well, they could have all sorts of excuses and all sorts of reasoning on, well, you know, the king was nice this day. He just chose not to throw him in, right? It was this, it was that, it was the other. But for the Lord to save them in the fire, well, that's something that they can't argue with. For the Lord to save David as he, a young boy, probably like one of these fellows over here, good looking, strong, ready to go. I can say that about them, right? And they go up, he goes up and faces this giant. What if he would have said, well, Lord, would you just, I don't know, take care of this giant for us so that we'll be safe and everyone will be okay? Have you prayed prayers like that before? Yes, we all have. God, would you just do it? Would you just protect us? Would you just keep us from harm? Those aren't bad prayers to pray, but what I'm saying to you is sometimes he needs someone to grab a few stones, pop them in that sling or that weapon that he's trained you to use, and to put it to work. I have one more story. So as we were watching the Hobbit movies, the movies are far different than the books, and it's okay, but we were watching The Final Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies. Good movie. And the thing that struck me, and I hadn't seen it this way before, and I hope any diehard Lord of the Rings fans won't get me. I'm sure there's an answer, but here's the thought that the Lord gave me. In the movie depiction, the town called Lake Town, or Esgaroth, I'm getting real nerdy on you, but it's okay. Lake Town. It's on the lake, hence the name, Lake Town. And it was made of wood, and everything was soggy. Just think soggy. You know, like, it's not a great place to live because everything's wet and damp and just yuck, right? Soggy Town would be a great name. And they were poor, and they were led by this guy who just called himself the master. Real cheese ball, you know, it's like, oh, gosh, this guy, right? And then even worse, he had a confidant, advisor, whatever, that was, you know, four times worse. Like, this guy was just despicable. Yeah, exactly. Slimy is a good word. And so these guys ran the town, if you'd call it running a town, and oppressing the people. And the thought that came to my mind was, what about Dale? It's not very far away. I'm gonna give you an estimation based on visual. I would say it's a few hours to half a day's journey from where they were if you were taking women and children and all the stuff, okay? So not very far in the grand scheme of things. And they made this journey eventually. And the thought that came to my mind was, you know, and I asked these things to the Lord. I hope that's not weird, but he's who I talk to. So I was like, Lord, I know this is fake, but I just got to ask, why didn't they go to Dell sooner? And it came to me, you know, through kind of talking this out and knowing what I know about the story. And here's the big deal. So there's a mountain right next to the city of Dell. So imagine this tapestry. You've got the city of Lake Town, and I'm not putting them in position, but you got the city of Lake Town, a half a day's journey, you got the city of Dale, fortified stone walls, I mean, you name it, moat, I mean, all the cool stuff a kingdom would have. And then right next to it, just, you know, an arrow shot, is a mountain. They call it the Lonely Mountain. It was the dwarven kingdom of Erebor, part of the story, right? And so in the mountain was a large dragon. The last of the dragons, the nastiest of the dragons, massive thing, bad dude, had destroyed, you know, people generations and generations ago. And the Lord said they were afraid of the dragon. I said, I get that, Lord, but they end up slaying the dragon. And he says, but how did they slay the dragon, Chris? I said, well, they grabbed the cool, like, black arrow, and it was the only thing that could do anything to the dragon. And he said, so, isn't it interesting that they had the tools they needed all along? They had the home that they needed all along. But it took someone rising up and saying, we won't have this anymore. A dragon needs to be slain. Well, guess what? That makes me today the dragon slayer. Let's get to business. And so the guy that takes care of it, he pulls out a regular bow. He knows better. We know better, right? We saw it kind of building up to it in the movie. And he's just plucking perfect arrow shots over and over again, as this thing is blazing through Lake Town, casting fire on everything there was, and the shots didn't work. Now, you have to stretch your imagination of what physics and what is actually possible, but the goobery part, I think, but nonetheless. They didn't use an actual bow to launch this big old massive iron black arrow, but he has his son use his shoulder because his bow is messed up. He ties one end of it over here, ties one end of it over here, so he has a drawstring. But his son is the thing that he's using to aim the arrow correctly. And I love this. Cheesy, but cool. And so he says, all right, I need you to look at me. So what the Lord's speaking to me about this is often we'll look at the situation. He said, no, don't look at the dragon. Don't turn around. You'll mess me up. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Keep focused. Trust me. I got this. And you can see the buildup because he's at the top of this tower. Everything around him is covered in fire. This thing is like leaning already, like it's going down, like it's not looking good for dad or son. But he said, look at me, I've got this. He says, all right, tilt this way. And he tilts. He does the movement just as his dad tells him. He assures him. And man, this dragon is talking smack. He's like, what are you going to do? I'm about to eat you. I'm about to eat your son. Like, it's going to be good. Like, nothing is going to stop me. Well, he lets loose this arrow, and it finds the one spot in the dragon's armor that was damaged before, takes this thing out. Quick, fast, and in a hurry, okay? That's three ways to say the same thing, right? We knew that, right? And so the dragon is slain. They get clobbered by his body just like rolling, you know, somersaulting in the air. And victory is won. He's the dragon slayer. And fast forward just a little bit, he moves them all in to the city of Dale. And the only thing that stopped him from doing that before is someone stepping up and saying, hey, there's a dragon. Guess what's going to happen? We have to slay the dragon. And so I say all that, and I felt like the Lord asked me to share that this morning, because there are dragons, there are giants, there are circumstances in your life that God is saying, I have given you every tool that you need to overcome your situation. All I'm doing to put it to action, to put my super on your natural, is for you to go. Are you going? Have you picked up your awesome arrow? Have you picked up your blazing sword? Are you ready to say, all right, Lord, even if it's just you and me, we're going to get this done, right? All right, so I want to give you, I'm going to cheese it up just a little bit further. The word that the Lord gave to me today was a very technological word. We may deliver it at some point in the future. But he said, give them an OTA update. In tech speak, that's over-the-air update. You connect to the network, you get with the server, which is the master, his name is Jesus, and he gives you an update, a version upgrade. And he says, you need better software. You got bugs. Someone say, I got bugs. But not anymore in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, so would you stand with me? Would you hold your hands out as you are receiving a gift from the hand of Jesus? And Lord, I speak a blessing over your people today. All morning long, I feel like we've been waging war, and we have seen breakthrough. Lord, breakthrough has come from your hand. And I believe it's a blessing to say that even when we don't, even when we fail, you will always have victory. So Lord, raise up a people, raise up faith in us right here, right now, in Jesus' name. I pray that we pick up our sword. You said this sword that we carry is double-edged. You said that it's sharper than any double-edged sword, that it pierces soul and spirit, flesh and bone and marrow, Lord God. That is your sword, and it is the word of God that you've placed in us, Lord. I pray that there's a hunger for your word right now, in Jesus' name, fall on your people, that they have to read, they have to dive in, they have to listen to it to get closer and to get more of you. And as they do, Lord, they will find power, because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And Lord God, as they take up the armor, most importantly, I'm seeing the shield of faith. And you reminded us that that shield would quench any fiery darts, not arrows, they're little ones, fiery darts of the enemy, because that's all he's got. And then I get another picture that, Lord, you've made our shields, just as Paul would see in that day, interlocking. The ability to put our shields together and make a wall that would be impenetrable by the forces that come against us, by the arrows that are shot up way into the sky that have like an arch to them, and they would fall and clink against the shields because they weren't able to overtake the shields. And so, Lord God, I pray that you are knitting your people together right now in Jesus' name. You are forming that wall of faith that says, you cannot come any further, because the Lord our God is with us. Adonai Sevaot is the Hebrew, but it's the Lord of heaven's armies. He fights for us. God, I thank you, God of angel armies, that at one word you said you could command legions. I thank you that there's nothing too big or too great for you to overcome in our lives. I hear him say, bless you in Jesus' name financially. Some obstacles that have come your way and you don't know how you're going to overcome them. But he says, I own it all. I can overcome it. Come to me, seek me, look to me, and I will overcome your financial obstacle in Jesus' name. Health issues, I don't know have a health issue. He said, am I not the great physician? Am I not able to speak one word and see you healed? And so in Jesus' name, we speak the word, be healed right now in Jesus' name. And as I said, be healed, maybe you said in your heart or in your mind or out loud even, say what that is. Be healed in Jesus' name. That's all we need. And last but not least, that over-the-air update involves a renewal. It involves an upgrade, and it involves an enhancement from the hand of the Lord. And Lord, I say, just as your word in Romans chapter 12 says that we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Lord, transform hearts and minds right now. The seat of all we are, our character, way you formed and fashioned and shaped us, Lord, let it be yielding and obedient to you. And as we are obedient to you, Lord, transform us and give us your heavenly mind that Pastor Travis was talking about earlier. When he said that, I heard the Lord say, yes, my ways are higher. Yes, my thoughts are higher. But I also say in my word, come up higher. Thank you, Lord, for the invitation to come up higher. To see as you see, to hear as you hear, to think and know as you know by the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And Lord, we thank you for all of these things. I pray that each and every one of us would use this gift, this free gift, to tell others about you, to see your kingdom advanced on earth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the victory, and thank you for the victorious battles that said. They said, Lord, we thank you that we have been considered worthy to be persecuted for your name's sake. Thank you, Lord. I didn't think you'd be in church today and you'd be like, yeah, thank you for persecution. But that's what they said. Thank you that you've counted us worthy to be persecuted for the name of Jesus. And Lord, as things get darker, your light gets brighter. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. As a way to just continue worshiping through giving, I'm going to have them, Isaiah, would you click the slide? But we're going to have the slide up, and we've got some envelopes at the back if you need any. Let me know if you need anything. But I want to ask John to pray for our gifts, just ways that we could sow back into the kingdom and partner with him before we go today.
Father, it is a privilege to give back to you a portion of what you've given. Lord, our hands have been put to the plow, and we're not going to look back. So, Holy Father, we pray that you would take these gifts, Lord, and cause them to be life for people. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
All right, as you were giving, I just want to give you a couple of announcements. Let us know if you need buckets. We have a few around. We can bring one to you. But Friday at 6, we'll have our altar night. And just to clarify some timing, 6 to 6:30, if you wanted an idea on what that looks like, because the doors open at 6, we're going to spend that time, usually we spend that time just in deep prayer, intercession, praying in tongues, etc. And then from about the 6:30 point on, we just kind of press into what the Lord either gives us in the prayer points or as, you know, the Spirit brings to our mind. Wants us to do. So just to kind of give you an idea of what to expect on those nights. And then the Lord asked me just to kind of give it a stop time, not to be unfaithful or saying that he can't continue to move or we won't continue to go on, but just in case you were trying to plan and be mindful. I've got kids, and so they do need food, and so I'd be a bad dad if I didn't feed them. And so our set time, if you want to going to tell somebody, is just to tell them it's about 6 to 7:30 or 6 to 8 would be a safe in case it went long. But just that way they don't feel like they have to stay there all night. So it's a Friday night, and so there might be other things going on. We get it, but we want to be mindful of your time too. The other things that I wanted to mention is next week, Oasis Church is going to have Alex Parkinson in town again. I'm excited. He's like, hey, I'm coming to Oklahoma City again. And so Christy and I and a few others will probably go Saturday for sure. If you want to go Sunday, Oasis meets at 10 a.m. And so, you know, you could totally do that. But I did want to mention next week we are are also having our annual meeting and some big announcements. And so if you want some food and want to just kind of hang out with us, that is the plan next week. It is the 10th. And so we'll have worship up here, and then we're going to go eat and have an annual meeting in our newly floored community center. So you get to see all that if you haven't yet. I'm trying to think of anything else. I can't think of anything at the moment, but I might be missing something. And so just watch WhatsApp and Facebook. Those are the two places that we're sharing things on. And then one little tidbit, a little bit technical, but we canceled our church app in favor of the way we're kind of doing with WhatsApp and the new website. And so if you're on WhatsApp and you're on the website, you have the latest and greatest. If you need any help with that, let me know. But you may open up your app and say, oh, this has been canceled. That was on purpose. And so nothing you did, it's something we did. And so sermons and notes and all of the links that were available before are on the website and available through WhatsApp. All right? All right. Yes, please tell us more about that. I'll let you share.
Every Monday night, Oklahoma Senate and House of Representatives are in session this year, and there's going to be 10 more weeks of that. Every Monday night at 6 o'clock, there's a gathering in room 450 on the fourth floor of the Capitol building where we worship and we pray, and senators and representatives come to this meeting. They have been crying out for prayer. They've been crying out for prayer, and the worship times have just been absolutely electric and powerful as we ask the presence of God to come and fill our state capitol. And it's changing the atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen. It is changing the atmosphere. And so anytime that you can come. That's right, and tomorrow they're going to be electing the new Speaker of the House. So please be in prayer for that. So this is what the church is supposed to do. What it's supposed to do.
All right, 6 o'clock. I will repost it in the WhatsApp just because sometimes those things get lost in the shuffle. But we'll post the time and the room number again just in case you guys need it. All right, I speak blessing over you, love and joy and peace over you in Jesus' name. You are sent.